The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
Tonight, tell the next person, feel at liberty to pray when you have to pray. Don't wait to be told to pray. Tell the next person, let your spirit be sensitive to receive when the time for receiving comes. I'm teaching on the topic, the land flowing with milk and honey, and it's part of our milk and honey conference. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12. The land flowing with milk and honey is the title of the message. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. How many have heard this saying before, that the sweetness of the pudding is in the eating? If you make an excursion around the pudding, you will never enjoy the taste. If you have a stroll or a walk around the pudding, you will never experience the taste. If you have to know the taste, then of a necessity, you must have to taste it. God is bringing us to a place where he does not intend that we'll make excursions around his word and make mere excursions around his promises. But we have come to a place where God would like every particular word he has stated to be fulfilled in our lives. So this particular conference is designed to link up with the Most High God and to access his power and grace, so that power of fulfillment shall bring to pass the word that he has stated about you. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, he that is willing and obedient shall eat, and circle the word eat if you may, shall eat of the good of the land. I take it again. He that is willing and obedient shall eat of the good of the land. That word eat means shall experience the blessings of God. May you experience the fullness of the power of God. I say, may you experience the fullness of the glory of God. And may you experience the fullness of the sweetness that is in the Most High God. He that is willing and obedient shall eat or experience the good of the land, which refers to the blessings of the land. God was speaking to Israel and he was telling them, strangers will not invade your land. I'm prophesying to you. And strangers shall not come in and devour your crops at the time of maturity. The Midianites shall be stopped from invading your farm. The Midianites shall not overtake you. If they are coming in as grasshoppers, may God lift a standard against them, that they will not be able to touch a single fruit of your blessing. In Psalm 103, the Bible says that he satisfies our mouth with good things. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagles. Now, God has some things to satisfy our mouth with. Apart from natural things that he may bless us with, this particular scripture is also referring to some spiritual things. There are things that he will make you taste and enjoy. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So let's begin to look at the scripture, the text that we have just read. It says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Number one, the first point I want you to take note of is hope deferred. What does the scripture mean when it says hope deferred? It simply means, number one, or a state of unfulfillment. It also means to encounter setbacks. It further means to have ungodly delays. So hope deferred means to be in a state of unfulfillment. The promises are hanging, they are not materializing. Secondly, to experience setbacks. Just about when the miracle is about to happen, a contrary wind blows. Just about when the answer is to materialize, a demonic power begins to fight and oppose you. And thirdly, we're talking about ungodly delays. Some of these delays may be done by human beings who are inspired by the devil, or sometimes it may be the enemy who is holding on to a thing, and in the circumstances we say that that hope is being deferred. The second point I'd like you to take note of is that when hope deferred, what happens? So number two is, the Bible says the heart becomes sick. The heart becomes sick. In other words, you begin to experience grief in your emotions, as if you have lost a loved one. You experience discouragement. You may experience disappointment, depression, emotional pain. People may get dispirited, and sometimes they may have physical sicknesses. So somebody may encounter grief and sorrow and weep and mourn and wail. Others may simply get discouraged. They may not feel like continuing. Some may get disappointed and stand and gaze in the air, may not know what to do next. Some may be depressed. They may sink so low that it will be difficult to pick themselves up. And some might encounter emotional pain. There may be circumstances when they remember or see. It will bring some pain in their hearts, whether in the dead of the night or during the day. They may go through emotional pain, or they may just get dispirited. Have you seen a football club that after 89 minutes they are down by 5-0? You just get dispirited. You play for playing sake. You wait for the referee to blow for the end of the game. And finally, some people get physically sick. as they continue in the grief and the disappointments and the depression, it begins to manifest in their lives, where physically they start getting sick. But none of these shall be your portion. Somebody say amen. Number three. So number one is hope deferred. Number two is a sick heart. And number three is the coming of the desire. The coming of the desire. But the Bible says, but when the desire cometh, that expression desire cometh means when the desire is accomplished, when there is a fulfillment of your expectations, when there's the meeting of your needs, when there's answered prayer. Can I hear an amen? So a time is coming, and can I prophesy to you? And now is a time when your desires shall no longer remain desires, but they shall become reality, because they shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ. A time is coming, and now is the time when your expectations shall be achieved in your life. A time is coming when, by the grace of God, your needs shall be met, and those things shall no longer be prayer points, but they shall be testimonies, and they shall be subjects of praise in your life. A time is coming, and now is the time when there shall be answers to your prayers, because God will hear your prayers that you make according to the will of God, and he will bring you answers that are relevant to the situation. Hope deferred, a state of unfulfillment, setbacks, and ungodly delays makes the heart sick. A sick heart experiences grief, discouragement, disappointment, depression, emotional pain. The sick heart becomes dispirited and may even be physically sick. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of them flows the issues of life. What are the issues of life? One translation says, life-giving forces. What are some of these life-giving forces? Faith is one, hope is another, love is another, and there are many more of these that our heart produces, so that we encourage and spurred on into action. So the Bible says, guard your heart. Don't allow some levels of grief and pain and disappointment and discouragement to enter into your heart. Can I hear an amen from you? If it does, counter it with the word of God, so you bring it out. Because out of your heart, the Bible says, comes forth the issues of life. The Bible says the spirit of man will bear his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? So you would have a Christian who is wounded by reason of lack of fulfillment, by reason of lack of achievement, and that person may be serving in the house of God, but is wounded and may eventually get dispirited. So may your desire come. May the accomplishment be real. May your expectations be fulfilled. May all your needs be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May your prayers be answered in the name of Jesus. And may you be satisfied indeed. Number four is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, But when the desire cometh, when there's accomplishment, it is like a tree of life. This is a figurative expression for satisfaction. Hope deferred may get you wounded with a broken spirit, depressed and discouraged. But when the desire cometh, when there's accomplishment, it will result in supernatural satisfaction. It will also result in a refreshing. You will feel that your stresses are going away. You will feel that that weariness is disappearing from you. You will feel reinvigorated and re-energized. There will be a renewal of life. And finally, you will feel encouraged. So you'll be encouraged. Now, a lot of the misbehavior that was seen of Israel in the wilderness was because they were discouraged. Lots of the misbehavior that happened in the life of the Israelites was because they were discouraged. The first one you can see in Numbers 21 verse 4. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. This is where the Edomites dwell, descendants of Jacob. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. There was a short way, but God knew that if it took them there through that channel, they will face so many battles. So God elected to take them through another way. And because of the longer route they took, they became wearied and they became discouraged because of the way. One translation says they became impatient with God and began to complain and began to speak against God in the circumstances. May that not be your story. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout a big amen. This discouragement that the congregation had went to the extent that it affected Moses one time. And it was because of that he didn't enter the promised land. Because what was required of him to do, he stood up out of anger. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And God got angry with him. May you not disobey the Lord. May you not do other than what God has said you should do. Can I hear a good amen from somebody? So a discouraged congregation can make a discouraged pastor. So the leader must be strong in encouraging the people at all times. And he must study the state of his flock so that he will come forth with a word that will be a source of inspiration to the household of faith. Or somebody shout him. I also need encouragement. A discouraged father can speak discouraging words to the household. So somebody else must be in the family that can encourage the father. When the household is discouraged, the leader of the family must be able to speak words of encouragement into their lives. If you let people hang around you who have no sense of encouragement and bear no words of encouragement, they may pull you down into the drain. It's important sometimes to recognize when a congregant is discouraged and walks to another congregant, you protect your heart by correcting the person. Somebody says amen. There are so many people who are discouraged, but they hide under spirituality. And they come and say that I sense something. It's not that they sense something, they are not happy. And when you are frank and open, you can receive help. And sometimes somebody may speak a good word into your life and you may pick yourself up again. Or somebody may make an intervention that will help the situation that you are going through. But the tendency of people who are discouraged is to pick on others and to make others scapegoats and to point on others and to say, look at my life, and on, oh boy. A discouraged husband can pick on a wife and talk. Ask the next person, do you get discouraged? Oh, I do sometimes. Do you know there are some little things that can discourage you? Maybe you wake up and you had a bad dream. And you ask yourself, looking at the word that was preached on Sunday, and I had a dream on Tuesday, and the dream was opposite the word, I don't understand. Sometimes it can be a phone call, and the information that is coming to you is not really encouraging. Or sometimes it may be a document that you cannot find, that you are looking for. You have sought and sought and sought for the document, and you are now discouraged. You don't know what to do. And meanwhile, there's a deadline, and you need to have this. Sometimes it's an academic assignment, and there's a deadline, but you have so many other assignments to do. And at a stage you feel discouraged. I don't know what to do. But tell somebody that David felt discouraged when they settled at Ziklag. And he and the men of war decided to go ahead, probably to find food. They left behind their wives and their children. But when they came back, some bandits had broken into their camp and taking away their wives and their children and their property. Come and see the following of David so discouraged. The Bible said the men of war wept. I can imagine them placing their hands on their head. And they wept and wept and thought their wives were dead and their children were gone and their property was finished. Why do we follow such a man like David in order to experience such setbacks? When they finish weeping, instead of praying to God, they turned their anger on David and wanted to take hold of him and destroy him. Listen to me. When you are frustrated, when you are discouraged, don't blame anybody else. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Wherever you are, you can make amends. Wherever you are, you can pick yourself up. If somebody failed to pay your fees and because of that some things didn't happen in your life, when you start working, you can go back and redeem yourself. Somebody say amen to God's glory. But sitting to blame somebody for your state will never help you. And they started blaming David and they wanted to take hold of him and destroy him. And when there was nobody to encourage David, the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Everybody must learn the spiritual art of having this ability to encourage yourself. You may face circumstances that people do not understand. What you may be going through, you cannot even put words to it. People may not understand because they may think you have this, you have that, and you have a good job and you're getting a good income, and what are you complaining about? But when you are getting discouraged, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Oh, somebody say amen. There is hope for the future. I said there is a lot of hope for the future. There are lots of opportunities in the future. It is not the present that determines everything. The future is pregnant with possibilities. The future is pregnant with opportunities. And the future is carrying a package of blessings for you. If you will take your time and pick yourself out of discouragement, you will ride high one day and you'll be testifying about what God will do. Twelve spies were sent to the promised land. They all returned and they started testifying one after the other. 10 of them said, "We saw the land. The land floweth with milk and honey. Look at the grapes. They are not normal size. They are abnormal huge size. The land is indeed fertile. However, there was one thing we saw that discouraged us." They said the people in the land, they were huge. Who was the one who delivered them from huge Pharaoh with an army and with chariots and horses? Who delivered them? Who opened the Red Sea for them to pass through? And when they had gotten to the other side, he closed the Red Sea. Who was it that turned the waters of Marah, which were bitter and undrinkable, into sweet waters? Who was it that when there was no food, he caused manna to fall from on high? That was not the first battle they were going to face. They had faced other nations, and God, who was mighty, fought for them through the supernatural, and they defeated the enemies. And they began to complain that we saw the descendants of Anak. They were huge, they were tall, they were bigger than us, and we saw ourselves in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so did the enemies perceive us. That shall not be your testimony. But there were two people in that congregation, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb rose up and Joshua rose up, and they said, "Let these people keep quiet. Their testimony is not consistent with the word of God. Their testimony is not in line with the word of God. Their testimony is not in line with the Greek word homologio, which means speaking in consistency with the word of God. Let the weak say, 'I am strong,' and let the poor say, 'I am rich.'" The Bible says there is a land and the inhabitant shall not say, "I am sick." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you forgotten that woman whose son died, and yet when the prophet sent a servant to find out what the state of affairs was, instead of saying that, "Oh, death has befallen the child that you gave by your prophecy," she said, "It shall be well." And when the second question was asked, this time her faith was more solid. She says, "It is well." Can you turn to the next person and say, "It is well with my finances. It is well with my accommodation. It is well with my circumstances. It is well with my job. It is well with my marriage. It is well with my emotions. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well." Coronavirus may have had a toll, but it is well. Jobs have been lost and businesses may have folded up, but it is well. When one job closes down, many more is opened by the Lord. They are opened by the Lord. When one door closes, God has many more opportunities for you, and sometimes bigger and greater doors. Joseph's brothers tried to close one door in their family against Joseph, and God will open a bigger door in Egypt and make the same person a prime minister. Don't sit down and be weeping about wasted years and how somebody undermined you and spoke something that did not give you the opportunity. Listen to me. Lift up your eyes and look unto the Lord. From whence cometh your help? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody in the house, lift up your eyes and see, because greater things are coming to you. Have you forgotten in the days of Joel when things things had affected their vegetation, and when everything was destroyed by the locust and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and if you stood in that vegetation dry and the green part had been eaten away by these agents of darkness, you would put your hands on your waist and stand akimbo and say, ah, can we ever recover? Oh, but the Bible says, fear not, fear not. Fear not, O land. Fear not, O Tete Jangma. You can put your name over there. Fear not, O Mary. Fear not, O Peter. Fear not, O Ajua. Fear not, O Kojo. Fear not, O land. Be glad, be glad. Oh, can I hear your gladness in the house? And I mean it. I want to see your gladness toward God. You may shout, you may clap, you may combine the two. Are you hearing me? He says, fear not, O land. Be glad, be glad, be glad, be glad, be glad. And rejoice, for the Lord. He didn't say shall do great things. He said, for the Lord hath done great things. And I believe that the great things the Lord has done are about to manifest. What the enemy did was a small thing compared with what God is about to do. God, oh, the enemy took away a few thousands, but God is about to bring more than millions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ? And I'm saying that you must learn to overcome your discouragement. Israel, who never learned to overcome their discouragement, never entered the promised land. God described the promised land as a land that floweth with milk and honey. Oh, this is such a graphical description, a figurative description. I mean, the land literally flows with milk and honey. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you hear the unbelievers talk about a party they attended, they tell you that the drinks were flowing. Even unbelievers know how to describe figuratively how abundantly drinks were available. And they would tell you that there was a grill in the place and flesh was flowing. I have come to announce to you, as a servant of God, that you are about to step into a land. And you are going to step in the land tonight. Can I hear an amen? This is the time. Oh, let me hear a crazy shout. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Let it be bigger. I'm saying you are about to enter the land because you are standing on the precipice of a major breakthrough. I mean, while you are standing, if somebody with a finger pushes you, you just enter your land flowing with milk and honey. I say you are about to enter. You are about to enter. You are about to enter the land that floweth with milk and honey. I say you are about to enter. You are about to enter. You are about to enter. And you are entering right now. I command by the anointing of God, by the Spirit of the Most High God, that there's a transition from the old to the new, from situations of adversity to situations of victory, from situations of lack to situations of superabundance. I am declaring to you that you are about to enter your heritage and possess your possessions and inherit your inheritance. You are about to have that which is your own. For some time you have been perching on another
persons, but this is the time to on your own receive what belongs to you. God has ordained some things before the foundation of the world that they must be given to you, and that's why Christ came to die. It's not just a story to be told, but it is a word to be experienced. May you have the experiential part of the death of Christ, the victory that he left behind for the church. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I'm saying here that you are about to enter. I'm commanding you right now that anything that will hold you back, may the chains be broken. Any discouragement that will hold you back, may it be destroyed. Anything that will come against you that will look like an obstacle, I command it to collapse. Any hurdle that the enemy may put ahead of you, may you, like the psalmist say, that by my God I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. May you scale over the obstacles. May you break through the barrier. May you break through the limitation in the name of Jesus. When Samson wanted to come out of the land, they had locked the gate, but they didn't know there was power upon that man. He plugged the gate out of the wall and lifted it above his head and walked 3 miles into the mountains and down the gates there. Today we plug the gates of evil out of your I'm saying that iron gate of the devil that is being used against your family, today we pluck it out of the wall. We pluck it out of your way, and we carry it and throw it beyond the redemption. Oh, some people are not clapping. Whom do you want to clap for you? Clap and receive your miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying you are entering into it. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. You will enjoy. You will enjoy the good of the land. He that is willing and obedient shall eat of the good of the land. I am prophesying that the good of the land shall be your portion. The good of the land shall be your portion. You will not start well and end badly. Your end shall be better and greater than your beginning. You will not fear retirement because you will enter milk and honey, and you will enjoy the enjoyment in your latter stages shall supersede the enjoyment when you were younger, because that is the way the kingdom of God works. Don't touch anybody, but give somebody a high five. At least 4 people a high five in the air, and tell them, I see you entering. By the grace of God, I see you entering your heritage. I see you entering your blessing. I see you entering your favor. I see you breaking through. I see you rising above the circumstances. I see you going in. Hey, Hannah was discouraged because her rival taunted at her, and a rival casted insinuations against her, and a rival sang all kinds of songs that were meant to break her spirit and to get her depressed. And when she was in a lower state of her depression, she walked right into the temple. Are you hearing me? And she sat there, and in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 1, she said, and I was in bitterness of soul, and I prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. I was in bitterness of soul and come on, are you hearing me? I was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. There comes a time when there's a bedding on your heart, and this is not a sweet bedding but a heavy bedding, very negative, a bitterness because of unfulfillment, persistent lack of achievement, because of miscarriages. But today, like Hannah, I declare the miscarriages are over. Am I preaching to your house? Am I preaching to you? Somebody says that there's a bad luck spirit. I cast it out. There's nothing like that. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. In the name of Jesus, the Midianites, I cast out in the name of Jesus. Oh, let the whole church clap. And I'm saying, by the power of the Most High God, because of the bitterness of her heart, Hannah went into the temple and she began to seek the face of the Lord, and she began to pray because she was in anguish in her soul. When I define discouragement to you, I said some people suffer grief, and some suffer anguish, and some suffer a sense of hopelessness. But today, that grief is being broken from your life. Are you hearing me? Today that grief is being destroyed by reason of the victory at Calvary. Because it died and rose up again, you will rise. Are you hearing me? You cannot be limited. You cannot be restricted by the devil. You will transcend the lines that the enemy has drawn against your family. You will rise above the ceiling that the devil has set. You will transcend that satanic level of low achievement that he has set for your family. It's your season, and now is the time of your manifestation. I declare in Jesus' name, now is the time for your glorification. I banish every spirit of discouragement, every satanic anguish. Let it be converted to prayer. May your prayer ascend like an incense into the nostrils of God. May your prayers be heard by God, and may an angel be sent right away to you to help you, to support you, to intervene. Whatever is delaying, which is not of God, but which is of the devil, I declare taking away now. Let it be taken away now. Whatever is of the devil, we disallow it, we refuse it, we cast it out. May the works of the enemy be annulled tonight. Tonight I'm preaching on the land flowing with milk and honey. Did you hear the title again? The land flowing with milk and honey. You will not dwell in a desolate land, neither will you dwell in a desert land. You will not dwell in an arid land, in a land where the vegetation cannot support its inhabitants. But I declare to you, now is the time, and now is the hour that the Lord is about to visit you. Any ungodly delays are banished from your life. We cut them off. We cut them off. Any interferences in your victories, anything that undermines progress, we arrest it and nip it in the bud. Victory, we release to you. Anointing to excel, anointing of fulfillment and glorification. Oh, lift up your voice, somebody. I told you tonight we are preaching and praying, and we are praising God. Ah, yabatua kataya, ristoniki akata, rika kuakataya, hey bakataya. I see discouragement flying out of your way, flying out of your way. No longer shall you beg to eat. No longer shall you look for coins in your drawers before you are able to travel to church. I command your situation change. I command your status lifted, and I command the grace to transcend the satanic limitations and to arrive to Masokataya. You are arriving. You are landing in the land that floweth with milk and honey. You are landing. you are landing in the land that flowed with milk and honey. I declare, may God's control power, may God's control power give you permission to land in that land and settle in the land flowing with milk and honey, not in the land of anguish and disappointments, not in the land of hopelessness and helplessness, not in the land of failure and frustration. May your river, may your waters of Mara be turned to sweetness tonight. May your waters of Mara be turned into sweetness. May your waters of Mara, may the bitterness of your soul, them that thought you will never achieve anything, them that thought you will never amount to anything, them that thought you remain at the same place, I declare tonight, I declare tonight, you will go beyond. Have you forgotten the blessings of Joseph? Have you forgotten the blessings of Joseph? Everybody was blessed with a single portion, but when God came to Joseph, he gave him a double portion. Are you hearing? Receive a double portion. Receive a double portion. Receive a double portion. What does milk represent? What does a land flowing with milk and honey? I represent a milk is one of the choicest parts of the animal. Did you hear what I said? You have flesh, but milk is one of the choicest parts. In order to get the flesh of an animal, you kill it. And when you kill it, the animal is gone. If you have 10 cattle, you are left with 9. If you kill 9, you'll be left with 1. But as for milk, you can collect it daily, as long as there's milk in the breast. And for as long as the cattle are alive, you will get wealth. Out of milk you get yogurt, out of milk you get cheese, and there are many other things. And milk represents nourishment. In other words, milk represents the choicest part of any blessing. Have you forgotten that when a child is born, the medical advice is that put nothing into the mouth except breast milk for at least 6 months, and in some jurisdictions for 1 year. Inside milk is water. Inside milk is proteins. Inside milk is carbohydrates. Inside milk are fats. Milk has everything. It is a nourishment. I'm coming somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? Milk is the choicest part of an animal. You don't need to kill the animal before you get it, but you can continue collecting it. When God took Israel to Egypt and he wanted to settle them in the land, he gave them the choicest part of the land, which was called Goshen. Everybody say Goshen. Oh, the way you are saying it is Goshen, Goshen, Goshen. God gave them Goshen. That is Genesis 46:34. Do you know what Goshen means? It means cultivated. I'm prophesying to you that the land in which God is taking you is already cultivated. Yeah. Spiritual seeds have been planted. Spiritual harvests are ready. When you enter the land, a little effort, you will start harvesting. I say your life is cultivated. Your land is cultivated. Your business is cultivated. Your academic life is cultivated by the Most High God. You are cultivated of the Most High God. The word cultivate means to develop.
So in this conference of milk and honey, with today's message titled "The Land Flowing with Milk and Honey," I have come to announce to you that by the grace of God, just like we announced when 31st December is passing and we are about to enter into 1st January of a new year, I have been sent as a messenger of God not to wait for 31st December, but to announce it right now that you are entering your land. I didn't hear an amen. Let me hear an amen. Let me hear an amen.
I was traveling somewhere, and then when we're leaving one state into another state, there was the huge banner that "Welcome to so so and so." I had seen it in films. I had read about it in materials. People had visited the place and talked to me about it. But there I was entering the place, and I lifted up my eyes and I said, voila, I am here. Tonight I see a banner. Come on. A supernatural banner labeled "The Land Flowing with Milk and Honey." And I see the angels of God driving you in a supernatural vehicle. And you are entering the land. Enter by the power of God. We enter by force. We enter by anointing. Nothing can hinder us. Nothing can restrict us. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to lift your voice. You're going to lift your voice, and you're going to ask that whatever is the hindrance, let it collapse right now. Whatever is the limitation, let it be destroyed. Whatever is the opposition, let it fall flat like Goliath fell. Whatever is attacking you cannot survive. I command it to wither away, to dry up, and to be destroyed. You will not die before your time. You will live to declare the works of God. In the name of Jesus, nothing shall resist you. We cast out the Midianites, them that are waiting to come and interfere with your harvest. I declare they are cut off, and I declare the miscarriage shall stop. Tonight I cut off the miscarriage by the finger of God, by the anointing of God. I declare that discouragement is rebuked. Lift up your voice, somebody. Lift up your voice, somebody. You are entering. Enter by force. Enter by the anointing of God. Lift up your voice, somebody. In me and no so your brush take it. Ya be a son de lebekia. Ya baka tuna kaya. A yellere be a tua. Ya be a son de lebekia. A yellere bekia. 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 A yellere bekia.
Rando Kosovo, 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 Rando Kosovo,
We canceled it in the name of Jesus.
Can I prophesy to you? When I prophesy and believe it, don't just shout amen, but clap to show you are receiving it from the Lord. Each of you, wherever you are working, whether retired or working, may God give you a business idea that will make you a multi-millionaire. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Each of you, whatever your status, may God grant you wealth that is beyond your comprehension. I'm releasing the anointings. If you are not shouting, I'm watching you.
Aha. Shabadabahayas.
Each of you.
Jesus.
Whatever your status, may you own lands and houses, sir.
Jesus.
And may you own more lands and more houses, sir. That when you sell one house, you will never be broke by the grace of God. When Israel entered Egypt, they were giving the choicest land. It was a land good for pastoral farming, because they were men who tended flocks. And I want to prophesy to you that may God give you the choicest part of
Amen.
His blessing.
Jesus.
The
Jesus.
Choicest part Jesus. Of his life. The choicest part of business. The choicest part of academic work. The choicest part of marriage. I'm prophesying.
Jesus.
In this land you will not be sick.
Amen.
In this land you shall walk in divine health.
Amen.
In this land as you age you will look younger.
Amen.
More handsome and beautiful.
Jesus. Amen.
More attractive.
Amen.
The wisdom of God will increase upon you. I prophesy. I declare your land floweth with milk and honey, with wealth, financial breakthroughs, material breakthroughs. Your land floweth. May your marriage happen speedily. I said, may your marriage happen speedily. May the children start coming forth speedily. We banish miscarriage. May the children start coming forth speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to go to the table. It's still the Lord's table. We have milk and we have honey. Honey brings sweetness to the soul. And we are prophetically declaring that for all the grief, for all the trauma, for all the sorrow, for all the disappointment, for all the pain you have been through, may God bring in that stead the sweetness of the Most High God. May that land that you entered now flow with the sweetness of God. Sweetness in the morning, sweetness in the afternoon, sweetness in the evening, and sweetness in the night. Whatever battles you encounter after you defeat the enemy, may the sweetness be restored. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I command sweetness in the glory of God. Sweetness in your marriage. Sweetness in your business. Sweetness on your job. May God give you sweetness. May you have a sweet spirit. I command, sister, may God bless you with a double portion. And I release over you. When your heart is ready, I will know. Now listen to me. The land floweth with milk. The choicest part. Yeah.